Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through Friday,
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak? Ooh.
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Trevon Edwards. We got Jay King. We got James Edwards III. We got Dave Dufour. We got a full squad, gentlemen, for the first time in a long time. You know why? Because basketball is back. As we record this, we've got the first preseason game pretty much under wraps, with Cam Thomas being a superstar like we all know he's going to be for the Brooklyn Nets. On this Monday, when this podcast comes out, 9 games. League is not messing around with this preseason. 9 games on Monday to get everyone back in the mix of things as we, kind of go in and out of this Monday Night Football into the preseason action. And so I guess the thing we got to start off with is we'll go back to Philadelphia. And let me tell you, when 2-5 made it known that he's not stressed about not getting that $8.25 million upfront bonus that he gets, not bonus, but that portion of his contract that he gets, when he was like, yeah, I'm not stressed about that. You can keep that, put that in an escrow account. I damn near reinstated his name into the podcast, like damn near, because you know what? He's been playing a game of chicken with the Philadelphia 76ers, and he's been playing a game of chicken with Daryl Morey. And I got to tell you, he's winning right now, even though he's missing that $8.25 million payment. Trey, 2-5 is really digging his heels into this whole, I'm not going to play here anymore. There's nothing you can do about it. He wants to go somewhere. According to, I think it was a report from Kevin O'Connor to the Ringer, he wants to go somewhere, be the focal point of the offense. And Joel Embiid's like, hey, 2-5, we've been catering to your ass. Like, you look at this, we're like, it's nothing but shooters on this team now. Like, we've surrounded you with the people you need to be surrounded by. And he even said it was kind of surprising to see what was said. Even going back to the reason we signed Al, we got rid of Jimmy, which I still think was a mistake. But he needed the ball in his hands, and that's the decision they made. But like I said, it's surprising. I'm focused on the guys that are here. The situation's weird, disappointing, borderline kind of disrespectful to all the guys that are out here fighting for their lives. Some guys rely on the team to be successful, to stay in the league and make money somehow. Because if you're on a winning team, you're always going to have a spot in the league just because you're on a winning team and you contributed. So, Trey, with 2-5, playing this game of chicken, with Joel Embiid coming out and, you know, throwing a little bit of ether into the mix, are we ever going to get a resolution to this, or do we get to talk about this this trade request forever?
Nah, I think we do get a resolution from it. I think the idea that 2-5 is basically treating training camp like he's a running back, this holdout, is something we haven't seen before. I think that the NBA needs to step in and resolve it. Obviously, they have forfeited his first check, which was like $8 million or something like that. But he does make a lot of money, and he's still crazy in his head if he thinks he's just going to toss away a whole salary. But it's a bad reflection when you really think about the professionalism and caring about what people say, right? The media is going to write things that you might not like. Fans are going to say things that you might not like. But I'm kind of interested to think that has he ever handled criticism? You know what I mean? Like, you know, you got people that joke on you, and you might not talk to him for a few days, but then you kind of get over it. But this whole, you know, we'll forget them, and now I need the team. You know, I need a team to be built around me. Like Joel said, right. I'm glad that he's finally saying the right things and no longer lying. How this thing really is playing out, and I don't really see any NBA teams outside of Orlando Magic that really just guts or lays on the floor for Ben Simmons to be the focal point. Maybe a San Antonio Spurs, but I don't think Pop wants to deal with that.
Nah, Pop. You know what I mean? Like, Pop may want to leave that for the next person, but he doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to deal with that at all. But I don't really expect Ben to be back with the Sixers at training camp. I do expect him to be playing game one in someone else's uniform. So, however, I think the price has shifted. he's messed that up. But then also, it's really not on Philly to bend. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's still in their hands to do what they need to do.
If he's willing to take the hit financially, it's not really on anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a game of chicken. Like, Jay, I mean, I think Ben Simmons is being unprofessional. He's being a baby about this. And yet, he's doing it in such a bold manner. I kind of respect it.
See, here's where I disagree with you. The Sixers made it abundantly clear last postseason, after the way everything ended, that they didn't appreciate Ben Simmons. They made it clear before that by trying to trade him. They, like, the two most important figures in that locker room, Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid, both came out and were very critical of him.
Oh, no. I don't know if you saw this, but Doc said that his comments were misconstrued, misrepresented. Yeah. As we played back the comments, it was like, nah, you said that shit. Like, there's no other way to take it.
They tried to salvage the situation, it seemed like. Joel went out on Twitter and said, you know, I like playing with Ben or whatever he said on Twitter.
And then blow. Doc, it was a cleanup job.
Doc tried to spin it back.
Doc and then, had 4 months, and misrepresented in this direct
Simmons
quote.
Simmons is sitting over there like, I know exactly what you guys said. It was very public what happened. I understand what's going on here. But I also think Joel was telling the truth, and Joel did everything short of say, Ben Simmons was the problem here. Ben Simmons has always been the problem here. And if he doesn't realize that, he should. You know, like, they have tried to surround him with shooting. They've surrounded him with Jimmy Butler. They surrounded him with Al Horford. They've gotten the third all-star type guy. And
they got rid of Jimmy for Ben.
They got rid of Jimmy for Ben. And none of it's worked. At some point, you got to look at yourself, understand, I've never gotten better offensively in the NBA. At some point, you got to understand, this team lacks shooting because I lack shooting. And I think from Ben's perspective, the only thing that I would say about the fit that doesn't make a lot of sense is that Joel needs to play a slower game because he's bigger and a bit lumbering and not always in perfect shape. And Simmons needs to play fast. But other than that, they've tried whatever they could. And if he was good enough, if he was the guy that people thought he was going to be, then none of the other stuff would have mattered. They would have been good enough, but he's not.
Right. Well, but the whole thing with, like, the style of play that you mentioned there, like, Dave, like, I know there are egos to manage and everything, but can't you just play fast? And if you don't get a shot, then you wait for Joel to get his big ass down the floor and then you give it to him in the post and then, you know, run that. Like, I've never understood why you can't have a mix of that so easily.
Also, they do, right? Like, this is the thing is, like, this, we've seen this work. It works okay. It's not perfect, but they didn't have a lot of depth. And, you know, I think this idea that it didn't work is just kind of crazy because it really did work. Like, they had a good shot at making the finals last year. And even if it was a fake season, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, that was the third best team in the East
in the regular season. And the Toronto year, too. We forget about that.
And, yeah. I mean, listen, man, like, it did work. Sort of. It just didn't work all the way. And clearly the personalities now are a big problem. And so it's over. But, like, you know, we saw Ben Simmons being able to score in transition, being chaotic on defense and doing all these things with Joel Embiid on the court. So it clearly can work. But the idea that Mo has talked about this a lot, and he had talked about it last week on Nerder, his idea of, you know, doing sort of like what Milwaukee does with Giannis, but with Ben Simmons. And I understand that in theory, but the difference is that I think that Giannis's touch makes the biggest difference in the world. He is not scared to go attack the basket because he can actually finish. And that is what you have to, like, Zion
also,
can do it.
He's also
he can
not
finish,
afraid to, like, miss free throws. That's
not afraid of anything.
Right. Or shoot a jumper.
Right.
If it's there. And so, like, the idea that Ben Simmons, who you're not worried about him actually shooting, you're not really worried about him finishing at the basket because you know he wants to get to that right hand and really doesn't even have any touch with it. Like, how the hell is that an offense, man? That's a dude who's dribbling around looking for guys to give the ball to. So I don't know, man. I don't think anyone really knows who they are as a basketball player.
Yeah, James, what do you see as the resolution to all this? I mean, it's obviously got to be a trade. There's no fixing it in Philly. Yeah. I wonder what that ends up looking like, because it's looking more and more like Daryl Morey is just going to have to take a hit on this in terms of what he gets back.
And we talked about it after the comments in the playoffs. Like, that's like a trade just has to happen. And Ben is being ultimate level of petty. And as much as I loved the Doc and Joel comments in the playoffs, like, I understand why Ben's just not going to show up. Like, I know he gets paid a lot, but it was pretty vocal. Why
he's just not going to show up. That's a great
like it was very blatant what was said, no matter how much Doc believes his words were misconstrued. Like, I understand why he's going to this level of petty, but it's a mess. Like, it's the Sixers, in a sense, are the ones, because of, like what you said, Zach, how Ben has played this, like, the Sixers are going to take the hit.
As long as he's willing to take the financial hit until that happens. Like, there could be a point where he's like, all right, this is a lot of money I'm giving up, right? There is a tipping point if he comes back,
it's weird.
Well, but that's the thing. That's what works. That's the thing that he did. Like, I think this is a bold game of chicken for him, and I think it's interesting to go about it this way. But how do guys get traded? Guys get traded by being a problem. This isn't being a problem. Yep. This is being away from the team. Like, Jimmy Butler came in and made it awkward. James Harden came in and was out of shape and terrible by his standards, right? And that got both of them traded when they wanted to get traded. 2-5 being away from the team, like, it's a financial hit.
He's just taking up a roster spot.
No, that's a huge problem. Taking up a roster spot. Joel Embiid must be sitting there. Like, we were number one in the East last year. We had a great team. And our second best player is not here.
Yeah. And we have nothing.
And we have nothing in return for him.
They got to go get some vets, though.
So it's a huge problem. It is a huge problem.
It's not a huge problem until the first week of the season. Right now, it's not a problem. Agreed. They are just playing basketball, learning how to play without
rocking, though. I think they're going to have, you know, obviously, whether they have Seth Curry or Tyrese Maxey at the one, and just figure it out. But, like, overall, if they can...
It's going to be like when the Pistons got rid of Josh Smith and won, like, 20 straight games. It's addition by subtraction.
I mean, to be honest, I honestly think that whenever they do make the move, and if they can bring in some legitimate, like, vet guys, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. I don't think they just drop all the way off. You know what I mean? Because...
No.
They're deep.
They'll be fine in terms of, like, it's not like they're going to miss the playoffs unless Embiid gets hurt, right? Like, they'll be fine. Right. It's just how much of a decline
they
is
might
there.
Not. Yeah. Well, see, that's been the interesting thing to think about, right? You know, Joel's going to miss games. Like, we already know that, and now they're not going to have Ben Simmons to give him a little bit of that chaos. Do you remember that game? What did he score? 42 against Utah?
But he was playing center most of the time.
Yeah, sure. They did, but clearly, like, it wasn't Ben Simmons that caused them to lose. And so they don't have that guy. I mean, is Tobias Harris going to be able to kick it up a notch?
He is not. You know, Joel's not out there.
Tobias under Doc Rivers is a different player. Tobias under Doc Rivers. That's fair.
A lot of pick and roll for him, right?
That's fair.
Yeah, so he gets a lot of pick and roll opportunities. So, I mean, maybe that is, you know, maybe that is sustainable. But I doubt they're going to be ahead of Miami and Atlanta at this point, right? Like, I just trust those teams more now, because part of it is depth too. I need to see what they're going to get back for Simmons, but I think Miami is going to be pretty good. But Atlanta, with all that depth and being good, like, I just think that they have a real good chance at supplanting Philly in that three spots.
I wonder if there is a pushback on Atlanta now that, not that they necessarily surprised people last year, but there was such a dramatic change. I'm not doubting they're a playoff team, and I'm not doubting they'll avoid the play-in tournament or maybe even be a top four seed. Like, I could see all that happening. There's something about it where I'm like, I just want to see a little bit longer, you know, before I completely buy in.
Yeah, that's fair.
It felt Cinderella-y, like Monmouth.
It's such a random turnaround, right? Like, in the middle of a season from a coaching firing, and I would assume teams will be better prepared for it this year. But also, on the other side of that, like, now Nate McMillan has a full training camp to put in everything, right? Yep. And put in everything on the fly. DeAndre Hunter's back. Like they have you can spin that in a way that actually it's going to be way more positive for Atlanta now, too. So I could see it either way.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So if you're Philly, right, you have to start thinking about that. Like you want home court in the playoffs. And so that means that it's going to get late, really, really early. If you come out of the gate and you're, 6-8, or, let's say, Joel Embiid had a knee injury not long ago. Let's say he can't play, first six games. Maybe he can only do five of the first six. All right. So maybe you got a loss chalked up there, and you got to start thinking about that as the season goes on, that some of these nights where Joel is going to have to take the night off, there's going to be losses often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of missing games, woo, the vaccine mandate in New York, Brooklyn, San Francisco, it is all... it's just raging now that the NBA has said, hey, you're not getting paid if you're out because of this, right?
They're tapping pockets.
And so we're still waiting to see what happens with Kyrie. And I don't know what happened with Bradley Beal. I don't know if he's just trolling us. I don't know if he's not vaccinated. I don't know what's going on. It doesn't really affect him because DC does not have the same mandate in terms of vaccinations for these large gatherings. But we saw Andrew Wiggins try to get a religious exemption. And then we saw Andrew Wiggins say, like, yeah, I'm doing my own research. I don't really know about this. And then we get it this weekend of like, oh, by the way, he got his first shot. Like, he's good. Like, he can now play and be available for all games. Like, he's getting vaccinated. So once you start tapping those pockets, and
it's great.
And while Ben Simmons is fine giving up, one 100th of a check, maybe every couple of games, Andrew Wiggins, who makes about the same, I think, thought, nope. I'll take all my money. Thank you very much. You guys, I'll see you on the court. Like, I'll take this. And so I'm curious, Trey, I'm curious, we went from 90% to now reportedly 95% of the league is vaccinated. I don't know if we're actually going to get to 100 or close to it, but the high profile cases are still going to make the most noise here until that's not a thing anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big one, obviously, especially with the Warriors trying to come back with full strength and also be a playoff team again, that was a major piece to figure out, especially with Wiggins. And, it's such a touchy subject, especially for what's going on in the world. And, I just think the values of the league also is just kind of wonky. If you're going to make everybody, as far as staff, media, execs all get vaccinated, I think it should have been across the board. Right. But given.
That's the issue, though, with the union. Right. The Players Association. Like, you can't just do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's their job.
And that's their job, by the way, that the union's job is to negotiate here. Even if we feel like they shouldn't.
They would be crazy to just accept that. Yeah. Like, that's not good union practice. For
right.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. But I would love to see them negotiate into a mandate, especially because, arena workers don't get the choice. Like, I'm sorry. Like, they're not going to – like, missing a game check for an arena worker because they don't want to go get a vaccine is not an option. And so if you're just – like, the flaunting of it, it just – I don't know, man.
Well,
like,
here's my –
kind of makes people look like an asshole.
My issue with it. And, Trey, I'm curious what you think on this. Like, the league has been – both very vocal about this and very passive aggressive in the way that, like, at least in the terms of like what's going on in New York, Brooklyn, and San Francisco with the local mandates, right? The league has kind of like put their hands up and be like, well, this is a local government thing, so we have nothing. You have influence. Like, you have influence. You have conversations with these local governments. Like, you have all these things that you can do. They're kind of like playing dumb. And while I think the league has been very good and very progressive with a lot of things, and including like trying to be vocal to get players to rally around this vaccine and promote it, I do also think they're being kind of weak at times on just like the hands up. And they're like, hey, this is out of our control. So, right. Nothing we can do. It's like, nah, you could do some shit.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, you have to think of like, I mean, I don't fully agree with Draymond Green and what he was saying. But I try to sympathize with the misinformed, and also I feel like complaining about it doesn't make a thing. I think this is an upper leadership thing. And
right.
If we just wanted it solved, then we just do it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, right. I don't care about a union, anything, retire. If it's that important to you, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's getting to that point. retire or, you know, void a contract or something. And I hate that it's got to that point, but it's just kind of like, you know, when you really, and I got a chance to talk to another media member about it, is thinking about, okay, say the players, the 5% that didn't get vaccinated, the media has to wear a mask, right? Mm-hmm. The player doesn't. Yeah. So think right. about, you're interviewing that player that isn't vaccinated. Now, whether they're contract tracing or whatever, and they pass their test, but they still have lingering symptoms or something like that, and they pass it along, you put everybody at risk still. And yeah. those situations mm-hmm. that you have to factor in, and a lot of people don't think that hard about. They look at it as not a my body, my choice thing, but they look at it as, oh, you shouldn't be peer pressured into doing anything that you don't want to do, or you're responsible for yourself. But it's not a responsible for yourself thing when you're in closed facilities, when you are sharing spaces with people. You know what I mean? Like, it becomes a bigger problem. You know what I mean? Like, because the vaccine isn't solely a cure, but it lessens the symptoms. And I think that, you know, if the NBA clamped down and said, you know what, as far as game one, this is what we're going to do. And if you're against it, cool, sit out this year. If you're with us, come on. Just like how everybody got an option to go to the bubble, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way you should right. be moving forward with it. But instead, like you said, they're putting their hands up and they're saying, well, if it's not in the state, that's kind of on them. Because I was very yeah. disturbed in media day that was the first question. We barely got to basketball. You know what I mean? Like, and it sucks that we're at this point, but it is what it is.
You have to be, right? Yeah. You have to be considering some of the hesitation with like that when it means, at least for three teams. Well, the Knicks are 100% vaccinated, I think. So it doesn't really matter for them at this point, unless they made a move. But when you consider like dudes are going to miss work. Right. Because of this, and some high profile guys are going to miss work. Like that's why it becomes such an immediate topic on media day. And it's just like, I don't know. I thought Draymond's comments the other day about like, well, it's not my place to talk to Andrew Wiggins about and trying to get the vaccine. You know, he made some convoluted example about like, you know, it'd be like telling him his, you know, the mother of his children's going into labor and he can't miss work. It's like, no, it's nothing like that. Like it was such a horrible example. And I just think like, look, man, you're either a leader or you're not. Just because you say something, you try to educate. Cause you're right. Like, I think complaining about it isn't going to do anything. It's about education
right.
on this stuff and giving everyone the mm-hmm. right information to make their decision. And from the sound of some of the comments, I'm not convinced everyone's got the right information to make this decision. And so, With Draymond, like, yo, you want to be a leader on this team. Part of that leadership is having a tough conversation that you need to have with players who are choosing not to be vaccinated. Now Andrew Wiggins is choosing to be vaccinated, so
and like, that's where it backfires that becomes on Dre, because yeah. it looks like you did all that for what? You know what right. I'm saying? Or in a situation,
right, exactly.
or you're in a situation of like kind of like. If you ever want to change somebody's opinion or you want them to change their behavior, take away their bag. It is what it is.
Yep.
Threaten their money.
Yep.
Hey, whatever the reason though, I just look, I'm glad he did it. And I think that I respect it because it's very easy. Like it's hard to be so, but it's hard to be so publicly wrong like yeah. that too. Right. Yeah. That is hard. And so like, I'm done. I don't want to make fun of him. Right. Hey, listen, I don't care, yeah, man. Like, I don't care about being wrong about that. If I was on the wrong side of history for public health, yeah. I'd feel like that's a little bit worse. And so, like, it takes a little, you know, you got to check your pride at this point for some of these people. I mean, you know, this guy's famous and made this stance and then went back on it. It's great. That's fantastic. And so I'm glad he did. But I'd like to see all these guys do it. I'd like to see everybody in the country and the world do it too. So if these guys would start, maybe like you said, Trey, like maybe more will follow.
I think more will like because to hear the Wiggins. NBA made it really hard to be unvaccinated. Like yeah. you got to stay in your crib. You can only leave your crib to go pick up your kids or go get groceries.
Well, New York gets a little bit that's more. That's it.
Or go to the practice facility.
All of a sudden, like, you could have guys shopping for groceries at a club, you know?
Yeah, because
just like, hey, produce section, baby.
I mean, the state is serious here. You can't eat at restaurants. You can't do a lot of things here without showing your vaccine card. So, I mean, it is what it is. I wish the rest of the United States moved this way. But also, I don't want to turn this into a COVID-related pod and get back to the sports, obviously. But yeah. Hopefully, you know, by the end of this week coming, that we have some major changes and we can move forward and kind of go on like the WNBA, you know, having 99%.
Yeah.
And I was going to say real quick about Wiggins, just to get off the topic. I assume the reason for getting vaccinated, like you guys said, is the money. But if he actually did learn something and that changed his mind, I'd like for him to come out and say it. I think that would be helpful. Yeah. It's not that it's his responsibility. But if that is indeed the case, why not?
I'm so sick of all that. Like, I get it. And you're right. It's not his responsibility. Man, you got a platform.
No, you know, I agree. Like I would use it.
I'm just disappointed when a lot of the and not just athletes, like just anybody of influence, right? Anybody of influence with a big platform, you have a chance to educate on site. Just because you educate on a subject doesn't mean the people who are against it end up changing their mind. But at least take that shot, right? Like that's agreed. The issue I have with it. It's not your job to convince people to go the other way. But yeah, man, like you have a little bit of an obligation to use your platform for a better thing. And that's my issue with the whole thing. I'm not asking you to convince everybody. I'm just asking you to try.
Do your part.
Do your part. Like that's what this has all been about. Okay, how do I transition here? I'm trying to think of a clever way that's not with you. Trying to think, because there is a way that I want to do it, but it's a little insensitive, so I'm not going to do that. And I don't trust Jade to edit it out if I say, you know what? No, let's go against that. So I'll test you guys what the transition was going to be, but we'll just say, hey guys, do you know that Zion Williamson loves New Orleans?
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
Loves New Orleans. And so there's been a lot. There's been a lot of obviously innuendo about him making his way to the Knicks, right? At some point, because he was gushing over the idea of playing in Madison Square Garden. And loved playing in that building and loved the atmosphere and everything. And everyone's like, well, you know who plays there? The Knicks. So let's get Zion out of New Orleans. Let's get him to New York. And then on media day, you know, he made a big point when someone, I can't remember who asked him, but somebody asked him about, you know, the situation and wanting to be in New York and the reports and wanting to be in New Orleans and everything and the relationship with David Griffin and all this stuff. And he lit up in a way where it was like, he said, oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. Like, so I finally get to speak on this. And so, look, it doesn't mean that he's going to stay in New Orleans forever, but it is interesting to see the publicity, not turn, but I guess the publicity emphasis for Zion on, by the way, I love New Orleans. I want to be here. I have a great relationship with Griff. Like this is where I want to be. I wonder how much of that has changed. How much of that is just him not liking reports out there the way they are, Or maybe like it's, I don't know, the Willie Green hiring or something like that that's kind of invigorated him to want to be
Stan
there.
Doesn't Van Gundy barking
doesn't
at him
have
anymore.
Stan Van Gundy yelling at him anymore in that high-pitched voice. Like, yeah, Jay, maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just the fact that he's like, hey, I like the people who are here now.
He doesn't have to listen to Lonzo raps every day.
Oh, man.
I think, I don't know enough about this, but just from hearing stuff, and I think Zion's always enjoyed New Orleans. I think he enjoys, like he said, like I think he was being genuine. I think a lot of that kind of beef with Griff that's out there and him wanting to leave, I think that comes from people around him. From what I've heard, I think he genuinely is just a guy that just kind of wants to get up and play ball and if he wants to win, of course, and New Orleans has a little bit of time to get that going. But I think a lot of that hoopla has come from the people around him.
He does seem like a guy who doesn't get fazed by much and just always wants to just be happy and play basketball and hopefully stay healthy. I do think, though, that the Pelicans have been pretty badly mismanaged during his time there. Like, hiring Stan Van Gundy and having him coach for a year, if you think Stan Van Gundy is the right guy, you need to give him more time. And if you don't think he's the right guy, you know exactly what he was going to be when he showed up.
Right.
Like, there was no mistaking what Stan Van Gundy was going to be. It's just...
Yeah, especially with a young team.
So that's a huge screw up. And maybe it's good they admitted, you know, this wasn't the right hire. We need to move on. But it just screams of mismanagement. And then I do question some of the roster decisions with Lonzo and everything like that. And I do question, like, whether Griffin has actually done anything other than get super lucky with the Zion stuff to move that organization forward. So it's way too early to talk about Zion's future, because every rookie signs a max extension. Every rookie of that caliber ends up doing that. And so he'll be there for years at least. But I do think the questions about that organization will ultimately matter, and whether they have time to fix it. Like, they have years to fix it, but they need to get that roster right. They need to get the coach right, and maybe Willie Green's that guy. But they do need to show Zion like they can compete, and that can be a place where he doesn't have to worry about some of the things he's had to worry about so far, whether it's Van Gundy or bad teammates. It seemed like some of the veterans didn't really want to be there last year.
Zion can extend next year, right?
He's done.
He can sign his rookie extension after, next year.
Right before next season. Yeah.
And it took how long for Ben Simmons to sign his extension, and then all this stuff started where he was like trying to get traded? How long?
That's the thing. A year and a half, right? Like, just because you sign an extension, Steven Jackson did it like 12 years ago. He signed an extension that immediately was like, yo, trade me. Like, I don't want to be here,
right,
you know?
Listen, man, at this point, if Zion wanted to be traded now, why wouldn't he just ask?
Right, yeah, no, I'm with you.
What's he got to lose? Well, that's my thing. Is like, so the idea that this guy wants to leave, and with the way that the league has been, I mean, every agent now is pushing the envelope. Like, Clutch kind of really like showed some of the old school agents that you don't have to do everything behind the scenes. And now it seems like every agent's kind of following a similar blueprint there, where they were just doing stuff, you know, it would be a lot of back channel stuff, and now more stuff coming out publicly. But at this point, man, if you're a player of the caliber of Zion Williamson, and you're on a rookie deal somewhere you don't want to be, haven't we seen that players can pretty much do whatever they want? Give it a shot.
Right, but that's the thing, is I actually genuinely believe him.
I think he wants to be there.
Like,
I do too. Yeah,
and so that's
what I'm saying.
That's the thing too, is like, it's weird how the Pelicans conversation has gone post Anthony Davis, because a mediocre ass team lost Anthony Davis. Well, not lying. I mean, they traded him away because he wanted to be traded, right? And they got a great return, and then they got, quote unquote, lucky in the lottery and ended up with Zion Williamson, which, you know, a little, some heads turn when that happens, right? when that happens within a week of each other. But it's funny to think, like, a mediocre team lost Anthony Davis, and every single year since, we've looked at it and gone, ooh, are they a playoff team? And part of that is how, like, dynamic Zion looks like he can be. And shit, man, he averaged 27 in his second season on 60% shooting. Yes, he has some issues on
average, like 21 points per game in the paint per night.
Right, exactly. Like, right. I get it. He's got some issues with like defense and everything, but good God. Sure. Like, he's getting 27 a game and he barely knows what to do in an NBA game. Like, that's how good he is.
And he's picking up stuff. They're not running plays for him, just, by the way. Nah. He's picking up all these points just off field and just dominance, man. Like, that's my big thing here is, like, everybody keeps pointing to Zion. And it's like, no, man, I really wish Zion would kind of point at some of the people on his team. Or maybe Zion should say, hey, I'm not sure what our front office is
doing. So, I did not like their offseason. I think they were the lowest grade I gave in those assessments for the reviews. But
not a Devontae Graham guy.
Well, I mean, I like guys who can.
I'm gonna tell you this now. Anything. They about to stink. Zion gonna have some good numbers. He gonna play. Yeah. He gonna play some games, but he gonna miss a lot of games.
He had the foot surgery. Like games. Already. Foot surgery, like right? That's dangerous. Trey, that's a worry. I get there. Like, he'll be fine by the start of the season. Maybe he will. But he had foot surgery for you.
He
got
an Embiid path for me. Embiid is like, I think it's 98% participation the first time in his career. I feel the same for Zion. I think Zion's gonna play 10 years, but he gonna have them ups and downs just because of his, you know, trying to get his body right. Like, but he his numbers when he do play, oh my God, he gonna be 25. Yeah. Oh, they're ridiculous. 10. Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, it's gonna be high field goal percentage. He gonna be effective. But it's going to be keeping him on the court.
It'll be very Blake Griffin-ish. Yep,
keep him on the court. That's the only thing. You want to keep him on the court. But if you can't keep him on the court, it don't even matter about what the org front office need to be doing, because he also has to meet them middle way. He can't complain. Right. I want to be somewhere else.
New Orleans, when you sit and think about it, it's almost like everything they've done since they got Zion has been a fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, give me one good move that you guys can just think of. I can't. Now they did.
I mean, Willie Green might be that move.
They just got Jonas. Green
might be that move.
Willie Green.
And that's the other thing, right? This is Zion's third year. It's his third coach. Like, you can't have instability like that. And so I think they got worse from a talent standpoint from last season to this season. But I'm open to the idea that the fits are better. And with Willie Green coaching them up in a different way, in a way they actually embrace, I'm willing to, consider the idea that they'll be improved just because of that. But you're still looking at a lot of young dudes trying to learn how to win. And that's hard.
I was going to say, there's also some of that. They might get some of that young guy, the internal growth, right? Like, we all think about Zion, but man, I think Nikhil Alexander Walker has got a good chance to actually play big minutes for them. And I think he's going to be a guy that if he's playing well, that's way better for them than whatever they were going to do with Devontae Graham. And so I'm not ready to say this is a team that's going to be in the play-in, but if they are, none of us should be shocked because of all that stuff you just laid out, man. Like, they got a new coach that probably understands what's happening here a little bit better at this point, you know, cause he's been in the league the last few years. And then, you know, so hopefully some internal development from Zion and some good health from Zion. I mean, that would be the biggest
thing. Well, and also, Valanciunas can really play. He had a great year last year. I just don't know how he's going to fit with Zion.
Yeah, like, but maybe you can stagger.
I mean, he's going to at least be able to space the floor. A little bit. Like, so he's at least going to be able to.
He shoots a little bit, but no one guards him. So that's the difference. Like, he's not a hesitant shooter. No one's going to guard you there. Like, they want you to shoot that. So I don't know. And
he's not a bad shooter. But he's not a shooter anyone's worried about. So it does, like, the spacing does.
And they're not running plays for him to take shots.
Here's what might be the biggest thing is that Zion doesn't need space.
No,
like, I don't think it matters if Zion has space. He is going to score 20 points per night in the paint, no matter what.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, you're not going to keep him away from there if you have all five guys defending in the paint. It's just not going to happen because he's too big, too strong, and has too great control over his body. And he's a ridiculous finisher. Well, so that might be what saves him, that combo, is that Zion doesn't need space. Maybe that's just as easy as it is.
You feel like the defense is going to be bad still.
Yes.
I don't think Valanciunas and Devontae Graham
are going to fix what was there. But I do think that Willie Green has a chance to
teach.
to get through to them better on that end.
I think it's going to be a lot of teaching, Zach, to be honest. I think this year is going to be sure. Like new offense, flashes of a few things. They're probably going to shake the roster up some more. They're going to make some more changes of some stuff that didn't really work for some guys that they paid for. And, you know, I don't really count on this. If they do get in the play-in, cool. But, like, honestly, I think that keeping Zion healthy is the main goal. And then also hoping that Ingram can reconfigure how he got to the All-Star team. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, his numbers weren't that.
I just pulled up their roster.
I love Brandon.
I just pulled up their roster. They have a lot of bad players, guys.
I mean, yeah.
I knew they had a lot of bad players.
I don't know if you guys were aware.
They also have a lot of bad roster. It's alarming. They have
guys with high potential.
So, Zach,
they have guys with high potential.
They have guys that could help other teams.
Oh, I don't like you. I mean, you're right, but I don't like the way you put that.
I mean, it is what it is.
It just made me sad. Well,
no, when you really think about,
you mean guys that could go be role players.
Think about other teams that are that are collectively haven't been good. But if you put some guy on a contending team,
everybody could use Josh Hart, right?
Exactly. Those type of guys. Like, you know what I mean? You look at it and be like, all right, well, we could use him.
I think I'm also the biggest Herbert Jones fan in the entire world.
I don't know what that means.
Rookie Zach.
No, I know who he is. I'm saying I don't know what that means. I'm the biggest Herbert Jones fan in the world.
Maybe the only Herbert Jones fan in the world.
Like outside of his immediate family, probably.
I just think he's an awesome, awesome defender.
He looks nice.
Day one at the NBA level.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I like his long-term prospects. Yeah. But the interesting thing about them in the play-in tournament, right, is, all right, we can take San Antonio, OKC and Houston out of it. Right. Those three teams are going to be bad.
Can we take San Antonio out for sure?
Five.
They lost DeMar DeRozan.
Probably.
Yeah,
I think
man.
You can
like,
probably
DeMar
take
was,
them out.
They lost DeMar DeRozan and Rudy Gay. Like they still have some nice pieces, but man, they don't have that focal. And Zach Collins, I think
2-5.
Yeah. Zach Collins is like, well, yeah, maybe 2-5 will do it. But Zach Collins is like out until Christmas or something like that. So even the guys they picked up, like, I don't know. Maybe Young's maybe Doug decent. McDermott's gonna
McDermott's decent.
Put the ball in McDermott's hands and let's see what happens.
How much Jay King loves the Spurs roster.
I do not love the Spurs roster, but
how do you feel about Austin Reeves?
I'm actually a big Austin Reeves guy.
Of course he is.
Of course you are.
I wonder why that is. The Thunder, the Spurs, the Rockets, I'm going to kick them out, right? Right. I don't see that. So the conversation becomes, can the Pelicans be better than the Wolves and the Kings? Maybe not. Like in theory, they shouldn't be, but I'm not willing to like close the door on that. And that's all you have to do in order to make the play-in tournament. You have to be better than those two teams.
I think the Pelicans mm-hmm. have the best player of those three teams.
Carl Anthony Towns. Carl Anthony Towns is really fucking good.
That's fair.
Yeah, he's really good.
No, I agree.
He's really like
Zion. It's easy for us
to overlook
be better than him, but not right now.
Right. Okay. And the thing about the reason we keep doing that is because he's so bad at winning basketball games, right? Like they just don't win there, and so we now just
his monologue on media was dead on. Like he's not absolved of blame.
Yeah,
he definitely has blame, especially on the defensive end of the floor. But when he broke it down, like, yo, I've been through these changes, and someone tried to, the interesting part of that was when someone tried to throw in, well, yeah, and what you went through with COVID, he's like, yes, but I'm talking about before that. I'm talking about before the pandemic,
right?
The chaos that has been here. And like, I'm the one that's here
and look
trying
at what,
to get through it all.
And that's exactly what we were just saying about Zion in New Orleans. Like it's almost a blueprint, right? Like if you look at all the stuff that has happened up there. But I think of those teams though, I think the Kings probably are better than they were last year. I mean, I think De'Aaron Fox being healthy is going to be big and, you know, they're a little bit better than I think they seem to be most of last season. They started to come on kind of late.
Did they hire a new coach?
That's my expectation.
Nope, same coach.
The second,
same coach. That's the problem
to me.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Like literally maybe the worst coach ever.
No. As someone who watched some Randy Whitman years, I gotta disagree with that. Okay.
All right.
That was
hyperbole, but
Kurt Rambis as well.
Yeah. I bet that defense is right down in the bottom like again. But that offense could be pretty good.
Well, that's the thing with New Orleans too, right? And I guess even the Wolves, like they don't have to be good defensively. If they're just mediocre,
right,
that puts them in a huge advantage compared to what they were last year. It's just, I don't know that I'm convinced any of those three teams can be mediocre defensively.
And all those teams are like, they're all going to score. I agree with Zach. Like it's going to come down to who can be the best, worst defensive team of that group.
Or, you know, Doug McDermott leads the Spurs and it destroys all these guys and it doesn't matter. And Jay King is just having a victory parade over
McBuckets.
Yeah, McBuckets, exactly. Thad Young
had a pretty good year last year.
Cool. I don't know.
Look at their roster, Jay. That's a gross-ass roster.
That's going to be rough, dude. I feel bad for DeJounte Murray. I love DeJounte Murray. I want better for him. All right, before we go.
Keldon Johnson is an Olympic gold medalist.
Cool. Mm-hmm. With preseason tipping off tonight, this being Monday, of course, because...
Jakob Poeltl.
Yuck.
Is there a way to mute Jay the rest of this podcast? I want one thing you guys are
Joshua
all looking.
Joshua Primo lottery pick.
Why was he a lottery pick?
Now that's a little bit of strategy on their part, right? Like there's a lot of folks in scouting circles that think he was going to be a lottery pick next year, and they basically spent whatever it was. Yeah. What was it, 12th pick?
Yeah.
On a guy that is going to be like a top six or whatever next year's class. So I think that's...
You could have traded down and got...
I know. But this is we're going to start seeing this...
Lonnie Walker. I don't know.
This is going to be another little thing that people do.
Lonnie,
it's be interesting.
Devin Vassell. I do like Devin Vassell. All right. One thing you guys are looking forward to in the next couple of weeks as we lead up to opening night on, what is it, October 18th or 19th or whatever that is?
Chicago Bulls basketball.
Okay.
My man is fired up about the Bulls. He's way
Let's
too fired up about the Bulls.
Explain, what's it look like? Well, that's all. So not that you're convinced they're going to be good. You just want to know what it looks like.
No. I just want to see what the hell that looks like. Because they could be a non-playing team or they could be the five seed.
They can't be the five seed. Jay, go. What are you looking forward to?
I want to see the Lakers, I want to see how Russ fits in there. I want to see how that old ass roster plays together. I'm excited about the Lakers. LeBron and Westbrook.
I don't think you have to worry
about
that.
It's gonna be madness.
No. I mean, I don't want it to fail. I'm rooting for success here because it is so absurd, Jay. Dwight Howard,
maybe.
In the preseason game, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 5 fouls, a technical. Midseason form, guys.
That's a day's worth of work.
Didn't he shoot a technical
free throw? They might win 25 in a row coming out of the game. Yes. It was peak Dwight. Right? They are ready, man. And I really, I understand. Like, we're all kind of watching with a little bit of morbid curiosity because a lot of those guys are old. But if this works, it's going to be awesome, and we're going to love it. It's going to feel like we're playing.
I'm not 2K. I'm not buying the old thing. By the way,
2K98.
This isn't
1999 anymore. Like,
have you seen Carmelo's offseason workouts? The man moved.
Yes, I follow Chris Brickley on Instagram.
He's
still
productive at the NBA level because he's ridiculous. So talented.
I saw a headline where they asked Carmelo if he was worried about starting for the Lakers, and he apparently is not. And I was like, yeah, me either.
Neither one of us should start for the Lakers. We have updates in medicine and in training, and veganism exists now and everything. Like, the old guys can still play.
I mean, Kobe was flying to Germany a decade ago, right? Like, we're way past that. Steroids are really good now, too.
No comment, but yes.
People turn their hands.
Really good, guys.
Really undetectable,
cover
too.
Their eyes.
I just think, like, I'm not buying the old thing as much as I would buy potential fit issues or lack of shooting. But the old thing, like, man, they got a bunch of dudes. Yeah.
They have a lot of dudes.
They don't have a 7-man rotation that's old. They have a
There's no doubt in my mind they are going to be 8-9 after 17 games, and everyone is just going to be criticizing them. Everyone's going to call them done and terrible and all this.
And
they're going to end up working on how to fit together, and by the end of the season, they'll be
go 16-0.
Yeah. I love the idea. Yeah. I think we should. Well, I think we should start pushing this, the narrative. Man. They start off slow. That losing Jason Kidd from the coaching staff is what did it. I think it's what we should.
Oh no! And so you see what happens in Dallas, and we're all like, "How did the Mavs miss the playoffs?"
We'll ignore that part.
We'll let that one burn by itself.
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail us there, but I'm legitimately excited to watch the Lakers play, because I don't know. It really is going to be fun. I think it's going
to
be fun.
We have so much to figure out.
The spacing is going to be terrible, and we're going to see some really weird stuff, and it's just somehow going to work, I think.
Yeah, because they got three fucking superstars. Like, what do you mean
the spacing is terrible? Yeah. They've got Malik Monk.
In the pecking order, by the way. When Malik Monk is going to play for them, and I think he's going to be pretty good. He was pretty good last year.
Heat culture. They got Kendrick Nunn in the mix, you know?
Oh, man. Well, there's a clear pecking order here, right? Like, this isn't like a bunch of stars getting together. Because let's be honest, there's not a bunch of stars. It's two stars, and then everybody else who used to be a star.
Russ was amazing.
Oh, that's true. He slipped my mind, actually. But you've got three guys, and so you know who those guys are. But everybody knows whose team it is, and everybody's going to have their role. And I don't know, man. I think it's going to be fun.
So is your pick also the Lakers, Dave?
Yeah, okay. It's also the Lakers, but more because I think if it hits, it is going to be some of the most fun.
Especially when Russ is happy. When Russ is happy and showing out, that's a fun show. Man. Trey, what are you looking forward to in the next couple of days?
Is Russ ever happy on the court?
I didn't know so many people liked Russ. I'm over here sitting quiet. I'm like, I want to see Russ fail.
Wow. Jeez. What?
What did Russ do to you?
Oh, what the hell?
Wow.
From a basketball
perspective. But I'm saying, what did Russ do to you?
Yeah. Not in life.
James just wants to see Vucevic and DeRozan mesh.
Tough crowd over here.
He's like, finally, the USC is back together. DeMar and Vucevic are back reunited.
They rekindled the 8 seed from USC.
Oh,
I don't even know what seed they were. They might have been much better.
Trey, what are you looking forward to?
I want to see how the Houston Rockets handle adversity. I'm also curious to see how good the Denver Nuggets are going to be without Jamal Murray.
I like that one.
And lastly...
And how good will it be with Jamal Murray?
Well, I mean, he's basically put out. He's not coming back till he's ready to come back. So don't.
Well, is he even?
I'm not yeah,
even,
I'm I think not even he's out for the year.
Being part of the team right now, like
that'd be my guess. Y'all, are you hyped for Bones Highland? That guy is gonna
shooter in the draft since.
Yo,
listen, VCU guys, finally got another VCU guy back. I'm pumped for that.
Bones can be the starting point guard.
Bones, just let him cook. Well, we're gonna have a point guard controversy, right? That's what I'm rooting for.
Don't disrespect Monty Morris.
Someone's gonna hire Composo to like take a lead pipe to someone else's knee.
And I would also say, I guess, lastly, more so, how the Lakers. I'm just really curious to have a focal point on Vogel and how he will kind of micromanage these lineups. Because I mean, I know they're planning on doing scheduled rest days, so a lot of guys aren't going to be playing back to back. So you'll get like a mix of the wings, maybe a Bazemore, Ariza mix, and then you might get THT and whoever else that they plug in right there. So I'm just curious to see how this all goes, because obviously, like, this bromance between LeBron and Russ, and I don't think LeBron has ever played with Russ outside of an all-star game. So it's interesting to see who's going to take the back seat. Like, Russ has not ever played without the ball since college, and LeBron has never played without the ball. So it's interesting, even with Rondo. So like, is I don't think in year 15 or 16 for Russ to flip a switch all of a sudden. And I don't think for year 19 for LeBron to flip a switch and say, I'm going to do this. So I'm very curious, but I do think that they're going to, make the playoffs, and I'm not thinking of anything like that. I know a lot of people have them winning because on paper they're the champs, but you know, this game goes down to health, same way how we looked at it last year. Sure. And
I'm changing my answer, by the way.
Yeah, I want to change mine too.
The Warriors are back.
Yes, I like to hear that.
Clay's not back until like January or February.
Oh, so when he gets back.
Yeah.
It's not going to be right away.
Oh, okay.
When he gets back.
So when they're the 12th seed,
it is going to be.
I mean, we talked about how the Pelicans might slide into the playing game. We're putting the Warriors at the 12th seed.
Speaking of seeding, Jay,
a lot of young guys.
You joked that they're reuniting the 8th seed in the tournament, USC Trojans. They were actually the 10th seed. They were 10th in the Midwest.
That's incredible.
They beat Boston College and then they lost to Michigan State.
Who else was on that roster?
Hey, let's go.
That was, we hit.
Can I shout out Portland?
We had Vooch, we had Taj Gibson. Dwight Lewis, DeMar, obviously, Daniel Hackett was a player. Leonard Washington, man, that was a good team. How are they a 10th seed? That's a good team.
That team was loaded for a 10th seed.
Yeah, wasn't the Pac-10 loaded that year, though? Like, wasn't there a...
I'm going to blame that on coaching, bro.
I'm trying to think.
That's got to... Well, yeah, Tim Floyd was a coach. So, I mean, that's... Yeah, that's that'll explain it to you right there. Pac-10. Yeah, we had, like, Washington.
And BC was a 7th seed?
BC was a 7, yeah.
Was that Reggie Jackson, BC?
That might have been Reggie Jackson.
Yo,
Dudley,
this Washington
BC.
Team, man. Isaiah Thomas, John Brockman, Quincy Pondexter.
Oof.
Yo, this had some players. Justin Holiday.
John Brockman, man. That's a blast from the past.
And Stanford would have had the Lopez brothers that time, right? That's around the same time.
That must have been, right?
I feel like the Pac-10 had that run that year. I feel like that was
UCLA,
the year.
Oh, man. UCLA, Josh Shipp, Darren Collison, Drew Holiday, Malcolm Lee. Man, they had some players, too. Is 2009 Pac-10 basketball good podcasting for the NBA? I don't know. I don't know, man.
I think
Well, Brockness Monster, you kidding me? I covered him his rookie year. Woo! That guy. That guy
Quincy
was a lot of fun.
Pondexter.
Shit, man. Arizona State. That was James Harden. Jeff Ayers. Yep. That's about it. But those two, they're good. Right? All right. I'll give my answer real quick. I want to see Jalen Green. I love Jalen Green.
I should have known that was going to be Zach's answer, man.
Jalen Green Light. We'll just name
just
him that because, yo, man, this dude
is going to shoot like 38%.
He's going to shoot 30 times a game, and I don't think it's enough. He needs to shoot every time down the floor. Who's the dude? Josh Christopher. Yeah. I like both those dudes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Those are my kind of players. So I'm interested to see that.
Who's the other dude I like?
Alperen Şengün.
Yeah. I like him so much. I forget his name.
and then Anthony Edwards, man. I want to see year two Anthony Edwards. Like man, he's so fun.
Oh yeah. Got better every month, man.
Look, man,
his second half of the season
was good enough for rookie of the year. Like, it really was a lot closer.
That guy, and look, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, you guys know there's only one guy who content I care about off the court, and that is Anthony Edwards. I heard he grew.
Allegedly, he's taller.
Right?
He also got a dog and named it Ant Jr. So,
Oh, see, all right. So this guy is going to be MVP. Most improved.
Yeah.
MVP.
And
first and team All NBA. Taking the Timberwolves to the playoffs.
Because as great as you can be, nobody can fix the Wolves.
Those were the two most perfect Zach picks ever, by the way.
Jalen Green and Anthony Edwards? Yeah, man.
They're so great. Yeah. I'm sad, though, that the Rubio Anthony Edwards, we're split up. That's a bummer because I thought that was pretty good all year.
Kevin Love, second unit, Cleveland Cavaliers. Look out. 2013.
Is Kevin Love going to play? What's going to happen this year?
Why would he play? They got like Markkanen and Jared Allen.
Being a professional basketball player seems like a fantastic job.
Yeah, man. You hit it big, you just coast. That's what I would do.
Imagine being fine with your team putting the money in escrow. That's great it is.
You know what? That's the real flex to 2-5. And that's what, you know what? Just for the end of this podcast because he was like, you guys can put that $8 million in escrow. Ben Simmons. There, I said it.
All right. Let's go.
That's going to do it for the this edition of the Basket Buds Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic to get all the best coverage of sports on the internet. Make sure you subscribe or follow on whatever your respective podcast platforms are. Leave reviews that are positive and just be generally good to each other and good to the podcast and good to The Athletic. For Trey, for Jay, for Dave, for James, I'm Zach. Keep locked in on The Athletic Podcast Network.